pains clarified by the Universal House of Justice. I'm quoting now. The Canadian Baha'i News has published the following article in the March issue following their consultation with the Universal House of Justice. Quote, the National Spiritual Assembly has now had an opportunity to consult with the Universal House of Justice on the subject of door-to-door presentation of the Baha'i faith. In the view of the Universal House of Justice, the principle which should govern our approach to this entire question is summed up in a sentence of Baha'u'llah. The wise are they that speak, not unless they obtain a hearing. They, the Universal House of Justice, point out, therefore, that it is essential that, and I'm quoting now, that no teaching activity should be an encroachment on people's privacy, nor should it force the teachings upon unwilling listeners. End of quotation. Regarding the distribution of Baha'i literature from door to door, the Guardian statement, October 20, 1956, quite clearly prohibits such a practice. He feels that to distribute Baha'i pamphlets from door to door is undignified and might create a bad impression of the faith. No doubt it is the eagerness and devotion of the friends that led them to make this proposal, but he does not think that the best interests of the cause are served by such a method. The end of the quotation from the beloved Guardian. Letter continues. The importance of discretion and honesty is stressed in using the door-to-door teaching approach. Indiscriminate distribution of Baha'i literature must be avoided, and no subterfuge is permissible. Announcement of teaching events fall within the scope of acceptable practice, as do certain committee or assembly-planned programs. In 1963, the National Spiritual Assembly provided general guidance in this matter, and now they quote their own letter. While this type of teaching may be undertaken particularly in neighborhoods where there is a concentration of illiterate people who cannot be reached by any other method, the National Assembly wishes to point out that it should be done only at the discretion of the assembly or organized group on its own responsibility and with due consideration for the dignity of the faith. This statement is not to be interpreted as permitting every and any individual to undertake such activities on his own initiative without consultation of the local assembly or group. End of quotation. Well, that's simple enough. If it's not, then stop me. It should be clear 100%, but maybe there's still some shadowy areas for you, but there shouldn't be. Yes, there are some circumstances where door-to-door teaching techniques can be used, but in conformity with the basic principles set down above. And as to special cases and projects mentioned by the National Spiritual Assembly in their letter, the ground rules will be laid down by the National Spiritual Assembly. If you're ever in doubt, don't raise dust clouds and throw up your hands in horror. Ask. The National Assembly is there to make sure that the spirit of the Universal House of Justice and the beloved Guardian are maintained. Ask the questions, you'll get the answers. So much for that. The most important point of all is this. Nothing should derail the express train of God on its path, nor should we switch it off into a siding while we settle something which has already been settled for us infallibly. Keeping a happy, good spirit of love and unity, whatever arises, that's our unfailing protection, and that's how we'll be sure to reach the masses. So let's get on with it. I mean, the world is hovering on the brink of an all-encompassing disaster on the precipice, visionless and unshepherded. No wonder Abdu'l-Bahá said, "Why are ye silent? Shout. Why are ye sitting? Move." If ever a community should be blissful, it is we, the Baha'is. We have the answers for all the ills troubling society and troubling ourselves. Did I hear somebody say, "Stop me"? Okay. Perhaps you might have questioned that phrase. It's a big one. That we have the remedy for all the ills of mankind. And maybe you've wondered, as many of the new Baha'is do, if we, the Baha'is, are relatively few in number in the world and relatively unimpressive in such limited resources, could possibly successfully apply such a remedy. Well, that's a good question. And happily, we have a wonderful answer. All right, who would you like to hear it from? Five sources, all infallible. Take your pick. Listen and never be in doubt again as long as you live. Rise up like a lion and roar. You can hear it from the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, Shoghi Effendi, or the Universal House of Justice. They all told us, infallibly, that we do have the sole certain remedy for all the ills of the world. All. I think perhaps the best would be to hear it from the very author of this divine world order, Baha'u'llah himself, lawgiver of the world, the judge of the nations, the redeemer of men, the organizer of the planet. Listen, page 4, Introduction to the Tablets of the Divine Plan. Baha'u'llah's words, he is speaking to his followers. Quote, "These few can alone transform into purest gold the dross of the world, and have been empowered to administer the infallible remedy for all the ills that afflict the children of men. Dedicate the precious days of your lives to the promotion of him who is the ancient and sovereign Lord of all." End of quotation. How is it possible for us to be silent and not shout and to sit and to not move? How? Remember these words of our beloved guardian. Ready? Or shall we have a short prayer for protection? Okay, here we go. Quoting, "Therein lies the secret of the success of the cause we love so well. Therein lies the hope, the salvation of mankind. Are we fully conscious of our responsibilities? Do we realize the urgency, the sacredness, the immensity, the glory of our task? I entreat you, dear friends, to continue, nay, to redouble your efforts, to keep your vision clear, your hopes undimmed, your determination unshaken, so that the power of God within us may fill the world with all its glory." End of quotation. End of a wonderful quotation. Somehow, you, at the end of that, you expect everybody in the room to stand up and shout, "Ya Baha'i Labha," and to ask for a pioneering application blank for at home or overseas anywhere, or to say, "Gee, I got 3 months this summer, where can I go? What can I do? Or empty their pockets, or to figure out how to mortgage their house, or to sell their car, or do something. After all, the salvation of mankind depends on it. Man, these are days that we're living in, right? Beloved Guardian told us that we couldn't expect people from a background of poverty, lack of education, and persecution, people who were illiterate, to understand about the faith immediately. These are his words to a pilgrim, a member of a national assembly in Africa, in one of the key areas of mass conversion. Lots of good information here for us. Watch them closely, he said, meaning those folks we were teaching in these areas. Watch them closely. Watch their spirits. If the people are strongly attracted, if they are enthusiastic about the faith, accept their declarations. Watch them very carefully. If you see that their motives are pure and that they are strongly attracted to the faith, accept their declarations, even though they know very little about the teachings. This is a most delicate matter. Still quoting. You must watch them closely for their reactions to the faith. If they are enthusiastic, eager, and have pure motives, accept them. Don't be too rigid about accepting their declarations. The doors of the faith must be wide open for them to come into it. Some who seemed weak will grow to be strong and will be good teachers. That's the end of the beloved guardian's words. Did you listen carefully? There are some very important key phrases there. Watch them closely. Watch their spirits. If they are strongly attracted, if their motives are pure, watch them closely. Repeated. If they are enthusiastic about the faith, if they are eager and have a pure motive, accept their declarations. But you see, it's important, vital, that they be enthusiastic about the faith, and not just enthusiastic about some occasion where they are present. They must know about Baha'u'llah, that no Baha'u'llah is the promised redeemer of men. They must love him. They must be enchanted and enthusiastic about the faith, and not merely swept up in the excitement of the moment, the day, the circumstances, without a knowledge, really, of what it's all about. This is not a subtle distinction. This is plain and clear and important. If these souls meet these qualifications, accept their declarations, throw wide the doors. Wide the doors to such seeking pure-hearted souls. And there are thousands and thousands of that kind. So we need not merely in our enthusiasm try to add to our numbers in the faith. Because our enthusiasm for what sounds like a great victory of many people coming in without this spirit, this large increase of believers is really false. If those who accept it are not enthusiastic about the faith in Baha'u'llah, but are instead enthusiastic about the people they meet, the songs they sing, or the joy of the hour. Now, wait a minute. Don't misunderstand. That's important that they have that enthusiasm about the people they meet, and the songs they sing, and the joy of the hour. That is wonderful, terrific. That's exactly the right climate and atmosphere to then turn their focus on Baha'u'llah, the Blessed Beauty, and on the faith, so they can become enthusiastic about Him, the glory of God, and their hearts can be touched, and they can be enchanted with the faith and catch the spark, and not be just enchanted with us. So take that little extra time. It's what the beloved guardian expected. The Universal House of Justice and your National Spiritual Assembly make sure of the victory. And it's not a matter of days, although it could be, but it can be a matter of hours, and sometimes only minutes. It depends on the purity and the attraction of the heart, if they can catch the love of Baha'u'llah in a flash. But don't fail to take this essential step, and you'll save a lot of heartaches. Beloved guardian wrote almost the same words to one of the National Spiritual Assemblies. And these are not Pilgrim's notes. He said, quoting, "The friends should be very careful not to place hindrances in the way of those who wish to accept the faith. If we make the requirements too rigorous, we will cool off the initial enthusiasm, rebuff the hearts, and cease to expand rapidly. The essential thing is that the candidate for enrollment should believe in his heart in the truth of Baha'u'llah." Note, believe in his heart in the truth of Baha'u'llah, not merely be raised to a pitch of enthusiasm by an atmosphere which we may create. Believe in his heart in the truth of Baha'u'llah. The beloved guardian continues. That last comment was mine, obviously. "Whether he is literate or illiterate, informed of all the teachings or not, is beside the point entirely. When the spark of faith exists, the essential ingredient is there, and gradually everything else can be added unto it. Therefore," Shoghi Effendi pointed out, still quoting, "those responsible for accepting new enrollments must just be sure of one thing, that the heart of the applicant has been touched with the spirit of the faith. Everything else can be built on this foundation gradually." End of quotation. Remember, never lose sight of that basic principle. It is a wonderful thing that so many souls are enraptured by the spirit which is generated on these occasions of teaching. It does cause a spiritual springtime in the heart. But let them know that Baha'u'llah is the source of that divine springtime, and that is why they feel so good. And if they are enchanted with us, it is because of what Baha'u'llah has done to us to make us that way. Tell them so. We are only mirrors. Baha'u'llah is the sun shining in the mirror of our hearts, and it is this light and heat of Baha'u'llah that warms them and brings them joy, not us. Once they know and understand that, they are ready, for it will be Baha'u'llah and the faith that they love. We'll talk more about this wonderful subject in the second half of the study class. In the meantime, you may want to discuss the first half in more detail, or you may want to serve some refreshments, or express your own views ahead of time about the enrollment and the problems involved in it. It's up to you. Remember, stop me whenever you wish when we begin the second half of this subject so vital and urgent to the fate of humanity. Okay. While you're seeking out those you haven't seen for a long time and shedding a little love around the room, let me leave you with these words to think about until we come back with the second half. Quoting, "Verily, we behold you from our realm of glory, and shall aid whosoever will arise for the triumph of our cause with the hosts of the concourse on high and a company of our favored angels." End of quotation. Baha'u'llah. And nice friends to have along with you on a trip, right? Quoting, "The more agreement, unity, and love prevail among you, the more shall the confirmations of God assist you, and the help and aid of the Blessed Beauty Baha'u'llah support you." End of quotation. Abdu'l-Bahá'. "Though the course he has traced for you seems at times lost in the threatening shadows with which a stricken humanity is now enveloped, yet the unfailing light he has caused to shine continually upon you is of such brightness that no earthly dusk can ever eclipse its splendor. The force which energizes your mission is limitless in its range and incalculable in its potency. Though the enemies which every acceleration in the progress of your mission must raise up be fierce, numerous, and unrelenting, yet the invisible hosts which, if you persevere, must, as promised, rush forth to your aid, will in the end enable you to vanquish their hopes and annihilate their forces. The measure of the goodly reward which every one of you is to reap must depend on the extent to which your daily exertions will have contributed to the expansion of that mission and the hastening of its triumph. And that definitely ends the first half of this study class. That was from the beloved Guardian.
Prepared myself to discuss living the life.
Welcome to the club.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the most wonderful subject of all. Don't misunderstand. Every one of us feels keenly aware of his own shortcomings when the subject of living the life comes up. As a matter of fact, whenever I'm asked to talk on it, I wish I could appear in a disguise or talk with a foreign accent. We all have our own weaknesses, you know.
I imagine the purpose of this study class is to help change all that.
Right, and for the better.
Yes. You are invited to a study class on the subject of teaching as related to the significance and importance of living the Baha'i life. The study class is being conducted by Hand of the Cause William Sears. He is being assisted by Anthony Leese, a member of the Auxiliary Board for the Hands of the Cause in the Western Hemisphere. Now, the study class has been in session for some time, so let's rejoin them.
Well, I must say, I've never had so much fun discussing living the life before.
Yeah, so far, anyway.
Yes, I see what you mean. Well, Mr. Anthony Leese, as you can see, is with us again tonight, and we've also asked Robert Quigley to help out. Tony has found some very thrilling quotations to help us get into the spirit of our subject.
The first one is from Baha'i Administration, page 68, latest edition. Shoghi Effendi writes, "But such staunchness of faith, such an unsullied love, such magnificent loyalty, such heroic constancy, such noble courage, however unprecedented and laudable in themselves, cannot alone lead us to the final and complete triumph of such a great cause. Mm-hmm. Not until the dynamic love we cherish for him is sufficiently reflected in its power and purity in all our dealings with our fellow men, can we hope to exalt in the eyes of a self-seeking world the genuineness of the all-conquering love of God."
Isn't that splendid? Now, that was written to America over 40 years ago, too. Imagine that. What else does the beloved Guardian say, Bob?
"Not until we live ourselves the life of a true Baha'i can we hope to demonstrate the creative and transforming potency of the faith we profess. Nothing but the abundance of our actions, nothing but the purity of our lives and the integrity of our characters can in the last resort establish our claim that the Baha'i spirit is in this day the sole agency that can translate a long-cherished ideal into an enduring achievement."
Sole agency. You know, for nearly half a century then, we've known that living the life was the essential ingredient of successful teaching and the only one sure way to complete victory.
I'd like a few practical hints right now on how to become a better believer.
Well, beloved friends, let me say that the purpose of this study class is not to give you practical, step-by-step methods by which you can become a better Baha'i, or to help you lead a Baha'i life. It's designed to share with you the wonderful, creative words of Baha'u'llah, the Master, the Guardian, the Bab, so that each individual heart will be inspired to make a supreme effort to become a better believer.
Yes.
And only in this way can we ever fulfill the hopes of our supreme universal house of justice and win an overwhelming victory for their God-directed 9-year plan.
Yes.
No other way.
It's rather alarming to think that we've had such clear-cut instructions and guidance for over 40 years and are still falling short, far short, of what we should be achieving.
Well, of course, what the faith has done and what the believers have done, this is wonderful, really. But you're right that measured by the potential of what we might have done and what we could now be doing, naturally, none of us is satisfied. I think we'd agree on that.
Yes.
When we have a partial understanding, we have a partial victory. Therefore, it's imperative that we have the fullest understanding possible as quickly as possible about the extreme importance, the absolute urgency of living the life, both in our individual lives and in our collective administrative lives.
Yes.
Therefore, I think the thing to do is to turn to Baha'u'llah and hear what he has to say. Tony?
O people of God, Baha'u'llah has written, that which can ensure the victory of